Take your Bibles now, if you will, please, and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I've been preaching some messages on Sunday night about getting a handle on your emotions. We've dealt with doubt, depression, stress. I think I heard more comments about the stress. In fact, all the comments stressed me out. It was one of those things. But we've talked about fatigue, stress, all of that kind of thing. Tonight we want to deal with inferiority, the feeling of inferiority. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Got your Bible? Find your place. If you got your place, nod yes at me. Nod that. Okay, I wanted to wake some of you up. And so 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Look at verse 29, important verse. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. A preacher asked his wife one day if she really had heard a lot of great preachers and who she really thought were some of the greatest preachers she had ever heard. And she said, probably one less than you think. Well, she was a wonderful wife, wasn't she? He knew exactly what she meant. And sometimes we have some of those put-downs like that, and we feel it. But a lot of people think, for some odd reason, that God cannot really use you to his glory and use you in a wonderful way in his plan and his purpose. But God can use you, and God does want to use you. He wants to use you right now. God wants to use you right where you are. God wants to use you doing what you're doing today in your life work. God can use you. God wants to use you. God will do it. I heard about a man that was singing, and he sang through the song, and they said, sing it again. And so he sang it another time, and they said, sing it again. And he thought, well, man, I'm not that good. I didn't think I was that good. And they said, sing it again. He sang it the third time. And he said, folks, I don't understand. I just didn't think I was that good, but you want me to sing again? They said, no, we want you to sing it until you get it right. Amen. Sing it again. That'll give you an inferiority complex. Now, some of you say, that's not my problem. I've never had that problem. I don't feel inferior. Never have. Always been a leader, so on and so forth. Let me give you a little survey right quick. How many of you have ever been listed in Who's Who in America? Raise your hand. Anybody? Some of you? There's one. See? You just don't know. All right? How many of you have ever made All-State in football or All-America? Come on, guys. Where are you? Some of you must have lied to me earlier then. But Jay, you made All-America. Were you All-America? How many of you have ever earned some kind of degree? Raise your hand. A doctor's degree or some kind of degree. Look at that. Raise your hand. How many of you have ever won, you ladies, a beauty contest of any kind? Raise your hand. Ms. Weaver, raise your hand. You were the soapbox derby queen or something one time. Let's do it again, ladies. Raise your hand if you ever won one, all right? Raise it up. Don't be bashful. Don't be ashamed. You're not bragging. All right, so we have one, maybe a couple of more. How many of you ever been voted in high school, maybe, or somewhere most likely to succeed? Raise your hand. Anybody like that? voted most likely to succeed. We have one. See, you have all these people. You didn't even know that, did you? I didn't either. Those that lifted your hands, I just want to tell you, God can use you too. All right? Now, he'll have to work a little harder at it for those who have succeeded like that. Here's God's plan. Listen to it. This is God's plan. And that's what he's talking about right here. God's plan. God takes ordinary people. And God does extraordinary things through ordinary people. And thereby, God gets the glory unto himself. Primarily, that's the way that it is done. Now, verse 26 talks about God's simple people. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. That's what God said. And God, when God is talking about the simple, as he talks about that in the verses following, God is giving that comparison. The word for simple there is the root word is really moron. It really is. I'm not kidding you. That's the root word. And what he's talking about when he's talking about these just sort of regular people like that, the foolish ones that he talks about here, he's talking about those that are non-intellectual. They're not great intellectual people. They're not the head of the class. They don't have the PhDs. They're not Phi Beta Kappas. That's just not them. And probably most of us would probably be in that category. And then he talks about the weak. That word there, weak, where he's talking about these, the base things. And then he's talking about the weak things and all of this. That would be the weak. The word means emaciated, sickly. Emaciated people, sick people. They are those that God uses to confound the all-American. God can do that. And then he talks about the base people here. What he is saying is, you're the people that have no pedigree as such. You're just common folks. You have no blue blood running in your veins anywhere in your family or you yourself. No blue blood whatsoever. The base things of the world. That's what he's talking about. And then he talks about those that are despised. God uses things, the base things, verse 28, and things which are despised, verse 28. Despised means people who are looked down on. There are people in society that are ridiculed and laughed at, and people look down on those people. It's just the nature of those things. And then he says, also God uses those who are not. What in the world does that mean? That means they are the people who do not make the who's who in America. In fact, some of them don't even make the who's not. I think I'm one of those, the who's not. Never made it. But that's just the way people are. That's what he's talking about. Your name is never in the bulletin. It's never out front. In fact, a preacher never even calls on you to lead in silent prayer. It just never happens to you. Some of you get that about midnight. All right? So those are the ones who are the nots. Now, lest you get the wrong idea, let me be clear about this thing. He didn't say not any, but he said not many. Here's my point when he's talking about these others. Not many of these others, but I thank God for PhDs. Don't misunderstand. And I thank God for all Americans. And I thank God for those who use their sports achievements for the glory of God. That's good, isn't it? They use it. And many other ways that these people achieve in these areas. That's good. That's all right. Paul himself was a very well educated. He was a Harvard man. He would have been a Yale man in our day, the Apostle Paul. But you remember what he said about all that? He said, I count it all but dung for the greater thing of serving God and bringing glory to Almighty God. He used that, and God, I believe, used that in his life. But he said, that is not the thing I'm depending on. Now, I'm not saying that God puts a premium on laziness. When we talk about God using these things, he's not saying that we should be lazy, that we have no muscles, We are people that may not be building our muscles up. And we may not be bodybuilders, but here's what he's saying. He's saying whatever body you have, whatever it is, the whole body that you have belongs to God and should be yielded to Almighty God. Every ounce of the body given to the Lord Jesus Christ. God may not have much of a man, but God wants all of that man that he has. That's what God wants out of you, and that's what God wants out of me. You may have an average IQ. You may not have a high IQ. But that is no excuse. Listen to me, young people and students. That is no excuse for you not to study just because you don't have a high IQ. It may be a reason that you might have to study a little harder. But we're supposed to do the best. God does not ever approve of laziness. Laziness is not the thing that God honors. Over and over and over, the Bible is replete that God does not honor that. And so, therefore, if you want to do well in some of those areas, you're going to have to study. I heard about a preacher that was a fox hunter. He really bragged about it, really talked about it a lot. And so finally some Quaker heard him preach somewhere, and this Quaker went up to him and he said, "If I were a fox," of course the preacher was talking about fox hunting, he always liked to talk about it. He said, "If I were a fox, I know where I would hide from thee." He said, "Where would that be?" He said, "In thy study." Now think about it, all right? You see, there's no excuse for laziness, right? And there's no excuse for not being prepared. A singer may not have the greatest voice box, may not have the greatest lung capacity that some have, but they have the voice. Here's the thing. You need to prepare to the best of your ability. I used to be a youth director a few years ago, and we had a group of girls who were greatly gifted. And every time they'd get up and they'd say, "We hadn't practiced, and y'all pray for us, and we know we're not too good." I told them, I said, "Girls, cut that out. Number one, you're supposed to practice. You're supposed to practice and do the best that you can, and you prepare, and then by the grace of God, you pray, and then you sing with the power of the Holy Spirit to the best of your ability. And God will bless such a thing." I believe that. Singing in the Spirit. Now, there's a way that God uses the ordinary, and I believe God can use all of us if we just let Him. God does not want you to sit on the sideline and say, "I'm going to let the superstars take care of all of God's business." God chooses, and God's the one who wants us to serve Him. Now, He talks about those that are weak. Let's go back and look at that. He's talking about the physically weak. The physically weak. God can use those who are physically weak, who have some kind of physical malady and problem. How many of you ever heard of the strongest man in the world, at least at one time, named Paul Anderson? Anybody ever remember hearing about him? Some of you saw him. We had him at our church. He took a rope and pulled our church van with people in it with his teeth. And he moved that van and pulled it. He was so strong. He was at that time classified as the strongest man in the world. Later I heard that he pulled his front teeth out. I thought, well, you know, you get a little older, you better be careful, my friend. But boy, I mean, I saw him. We had him. He was big. We went out to eat and everybody watched us the whole time, you know. I thought it was me, and then I realized, no, it's really Paul Anderson. And he said this statement. Somebody asked him, said, "By the way," he said, "have you ever weighed less than 90 pounds? He said, "Yeah, the day I was born, when I was a baby." But here's what he said: "If the strongest man in the world needs Jesus, so do you." Amen. He used that. Well, he preached one time, and he preached one night, gave his testimony, made some of these statements, did some of those things. The next night, a guy in a wheelchair came, and it was a very simple type guy, and he came rolling down front, and he talked to the preacher. Paul Anderson had preached the night before, and he said, "What was it that Paul Anderson did? What was it that he said that made you realize you needed to get saved? You needed to come to Christ?" He said, He said, I don't even know what Paul Anderson said. But he said, you remember y'all rolled a guy up there in a wheelchair and he gave his testimony. He said, I saw him and I said, if God can use him and God saved him, God can save me and use me. And he got saved. You get the point. God can use the weak things of the world if we just turn it over to the Lord and use it for His glory. He says, I'll use the base things, those things that are of low degree, base things, born on the wrong side of the tracks. Some people are born in society in what we would call the wrong side of the tracks. Do you know there's a great Bible character that was like that? His name was Gideon. And they found Gideon hiding one day on the threshing floor, threshing wheat. He was a coward. He was hiding in the back of the barn, we might say. And God spoke to him through his servant who came to him, and he said, Hail thou mighty man of valor. God said that to him, to Gideon. And Gideon, God said, I have chosen you. And Gideon said, you know, God, you've made a mistake. I'm from the tribe of Manasseh. Not only the poorest tribe and one of the worst tribes, but our family didn't have anything, and I certainly don't have anything to offer you. I'm one of the poorest there is. I'm the least. I'm the bottom of the barrel, God. God said, but I'm going to use you. And you know what he did? He gave him a huge army, didn't he? No, he dwindled him right down to 300. And he said, I want to use you. And Gideon and his 300 won the battle, and God blessed him and God used him, and they whipped the Midianites because God said, I want to get glory out of you. I'm going to use you. I'm going to take you a nobody and make you something for my glory. You just do what I tell you to do. And Gideon obeyed the Lord, and God, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he can do it for you too, my friend, if you'll let him do it. Then he talks about the despised. Look again there. David was one of those. His brothers despised him, made fun of him. He was facing, and you know the whole story about the 9-foot-plus giant. And old David comes up. He's just a little shepherd boy, a teenager, as a matter of fact. As far as we know, just a teenager. He was of ruddy countenance, the Bible says. That means he had a little peach fuzz, like some of our teenage boys who want to shave on his chin there. And God said, I want to use you, David. You take these 5 smooth stones, you go up there and you take care of that giant. And God did it. Who got the glory? Suppose there was a giant over here for Israel and a giant over here. All you'd have is another Super Bowl. And who's going to get the edge, you know? But here, it was a little boy who was a shepherd boy who really wasn't a military man who came up, and you know the story, he won the battle. But God got the glory out of it. I believe God got all of the glory out of that situation. I'm convinced that he did. F.B. Meyer was a great person who served the Lord. And he was one that was very similar to that. I'll go back to him in just a moment. But it's people like that that God uses and God wants to use if we'll just put ourselves in the way where God wants us. Doesn't matter if it's F.B. Meyer or me or you. The thing is, like David said, I come in the name of the Lord. David said, I don't come in my strength. I come in the name of the Lord. And he said, I'm going to take your head off and feed it to the birds. The giant had told him he was going to do it, but he didn't do it. You see, and the reason is given. Why did God let that happen? Why did God choose him? Why did God do that? That all may know there is a God in Israel. David knew exactly why he was there. That all might know that. In other words, to God be the glory. Now he says there are some that are the are nots. And that means nobodies that are God's somebodies. The are nots. The ones that we mentioned earlier. Listen to this story. Years ago, a Sunday school teacher witnessed to a 19-year-old boy who worked in a shoe shop. The Sunday school teacher was very scared and nervous to go in there and witness to that young man. That young man got saved. That young man went to the church, and they wouldn't even accept him into the church because he didn't know enough. That young man was D.L. Moody. That Sunday school teacher, I mean, D.L. Moody worked in the Sunday school movement, and because of that Sunday school teacher, D.L. Moody won thousands and thousands of boys and girls and people to the Lord Jesus Christ. One time he went over to speak for F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer was very polished. He was very precise, very exact in everything he said, knew the English language very perfectly. And whenever D.L. Moody was preaching for him, he was thinking, man, I've made a mistake. When is this going to be over? I'd be glad he's messing up, he's slaughtering the King's English, all of those things. And then at the end of his message, D.L. Moody told a tear-jerking story. That was a no-no for F.B. Meyer in those days. And later, F.B. Meyer was having tea with a woman who was a member of his church. And he said, how are you doing? She said, I am wonderful. She said, God set my soul free the other day when D.L. Moody was preaching in our church. And she said, I've led every girl in my Sunday school class to the Lord. And we're going out right now to win some more to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Meyer said, later when he came to speak, he was speaking to some discouraged preacher boys. And he said, I don't care what you do. If somebody just come tonight, if you'll just come and pray this prayer, oh God, I'm not willing, but I'm willing to be made willing. And there was a man who came forward that night, and his name was Wilbur Chapman. How many ever heard of Wilbur Chapman? Most Bible college students would know that name, and many people who studied the Word of God over the years have heard of him and read his messages and all of that. And he was very dynamic. Then there was a guy by the name of Billy Sunday who came along. Now remember, all this is going back to the Sunday school teacher. A guy by the name of Billy Sunday came along, and Billy Sunday helped him out, and Wilbur Chapman had great crusades, and Billy Sunday helped him put the tents up and take it down. Just whatever he needed, he'd do it. And then when Wilbur Chapman died, he gave Billy Sunday all of his outlines, because Billy Sunday didn't even know how to get an outline. Billy Sunday was really, really a different kind of guy. He didn't even know how to get an outline. But he took those sermon notes, and he preached those sermon notes. And in 1920, he preached in Charlotte, North Carolina, somewhere in the 20s. One of the greatest revivals that ever came to the city of Charlotte, North Carolina, came during that time. That revival shook all of Charlotte, North Carolina, and history says that it lasted somewhere around a decade, somewhere around 10 years. Later, the businessmen said, we need another revival like that. And they prayed, the businessmen, leaders in that community, prayed and said, Lord, send another revival to Charlotte. A revival that not only would shake Charlotte, but would shake the whole world. God send another revival. And guess what? God sent him a white-haired man by the name of Mordecai Ham. Some of you have heard of him. Some of you may have heard him preach. Mordecai Ham preached hell hot and sin black, heaven sweet. I mean, boy, he didn't pull any punches whatsoever. And then there was a little skinny run of a guy, a little tall, slender guy, who came forward in his crusade. And his name was Billy Graham. And God answered that prayer. You may not agree with everything he does or did, but I think most of us would have to know that he preached around the world to presidents, to leaders, to people around the world, and God answered those businessmen's prayer. But let me ask you something. Where did it start? Where did it start? With a Sunday school teacher who walked into a shoe shop and told a little scrawny boy about the Lord Jesus Christ. Few of us would know the name Mr. Kimball. Most of you would know D.L. Moody's name. But Mr. Kimball, very few would know that. But you know what? God knows. I believe God knew Mr. Kimball. And God knows you Sunday school teachers. And God knows you that are working the soundboard. And God knows those that are back there in the nursery. And God knows those who are working over in Children's Church. And God knows who our ushers are. And God knows who you are and where you are and everything that you may be doing for the glory of God. And God wants to use you. And God said, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, I will not fail to reward you for it. You see, God's looking on and he'll do it. God takes nobodies and makes somebodies and uses us in an extraordinary way. So that's God's simple people, and God's special power is all used in the lives of these people. Billy Sunday, again, was one of those people. And Billy Sunday, he was different. The way he preached was different. He would smash chairs. He'd holler. He'd run back and forth. He'd do all kinds of things. And people said, oh, God won't use that. Friend, God used it. It said that over 1 million people got saved because of Billy Sunday's preaching. And you say, well, that's an exaggeration. Well, what if 500,000 got saved? That's a whole lot better than most of us, isn't it? And Billy Sunday was that kind of preacher. Now, I want to say something to any of you that are preacher boys. Don't try to just be like Billy Sunday. That wasn't why Billy Sunday was successful. It was because God made him what he was. And throwing chairs and all that, I mean, that may not be the way to do it. It was his way of doing it. He was an old baseball player, and that's what he did. Now, God's sovereign purpose. Why did God do it? Verse 29, look at it. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. There it is, folks. We want to be bragged on. We want to be elevated, and we want people to notice us. We've got it all wrong if that's the case, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Let me tell you something. There are no peacocks in heaven. You ever seen a peacock strut? They're beautiful. There are a lot of Baptist peacocks. But there won't be any peacocks in heaven. No flesh. You know why? You know what? That's why God saves us by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should, what is it? Boast. There it is. You see, God says, you're not going to get the glory for your salvation. I'm going to get the glory for your salvation. And if you try to get the glory, you've missed the whole thing. You'll never get to heaven by trying to get the glory. It is God who did it. God saves us by grace. There are no superstars in heaven. You say, well, I have more ability than others. Well, let me remind you, to whom much is given, much is required. I've seen people who could sing extremely well who did not sing for the glory of God. Shame on them. They stand at the judgment seat of Christ. They're going to be ashamed. I've seen people who are singing out there that ought to be in the choir, and they're not in the choir. You're going to be ashamed when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ. That'll help your choir, I hope. You see, to whom much is given, much is required. And God will judge you on this. And God fills the place with, he doesn't fill it with anybody else, the very place that God has for you or God has for me. Now, where's the highest place in the world for a Christian? Where's the best place in the world for a Christian? The highest place and the best place is right in the center of God's will, wherever that is. And I know you can argue about, well, nobody's in the center and blah, blah, blah. But you're either in God's will or you're out of God's will, that's for sure. But the best place is for you to be doing what God has given you the ability to do and what God wants you to do to keep you involved in it. You can be used of God if you want to be. Everybody in this building can be used of God if you want to be. Now, it may not be the way you want to be used. It may not be that way. It may be something you want to do that you can't do, but that's all right. Just to be used of God, it doesn't matter. You don't choose. Here's what we do. We say, God, I am available to you. Did you know the greatest ability you have is availability? And yet, many people are not making themselves available to Almighty God. We need to do that. We need to make ourselves available to God. God, I'm available. God, I yield myself to you. Here I am. You made me. I'm yours. You gave me what I have. You gave me everything. You can use me. Everything in here says that you can take me and use me mightily. Lord, I yield to you, known and unknown, mighty and weak. It doesn't matter. I yield to you. And if you're there in the will of God, God will use you, friend. You don't have to be superstar. You don't have to be the top dog or any of those other things. And I would urge you, don't dare. Don't dare insult God by saying to God, you can't do it. You can't do it. Because God wants to use you, and you can do those things that God wants you to do. God is looking, guess what, for somebody just like you and you and you and you over here and you over in that section. God is looking for somebody just like you. He made you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Why don't you pray a prayer? Our heads are bowed. Maybe pray a prayer something like this. Lord, I thank you for who I am. Lord, I thank you for who I am, with my strengths and my weaknesses. And Lord, I present myself to you tonight. Dear God, live your life in me. Exalt yourself through me. That's what God wants us to do, is to be exalted through the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you let him do that? Let's stand, please.